So today's reading is from Mark 3, verses 20 to 35. The subheading in the Bible is Jesus accused by his family and by teachers of the law. So from verse 20. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law, who came down from Jerusalem, said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons. He's driving out demons." So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying, "He has an impure spirit." Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone to call to him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in the circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother."
Well, do keep that passage open in front of you as we go through it just now. But it's often been said, hasn't it, that you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. But just imagine for a moment that you could pick your family. Who would you pick to have in your family? I've got a few pictures which will hopefully pop up on the screen behind you. Maybe you would want this guy as your dad. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Superman. Or perhaps for your mum you could have Wonder Woman. Wouldn't that be brilliant, doing all this stuff for you? Or I think it would be pretty cool to have this guy as your brother. Can you imagine the birthday presents that he would give? That he'd be fantastic, wouldn't he? Or maybe lastly, if you had the Hulk as a brother, he would be very, very protective, wouldn't he? Well, we don't get to pick our family, which is probably a good thing, isn't it? Because these guys would just keep flying off to rescue the world or something. They'd never be there. But in that bit of Mark that we were reading just then, Jesus is calling a new family to himself, an entirely new family. And there are some surprises along the way. So let's have a look at who's in and who's out of Jesus' new family. Look down at verse 20. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." Well, Jesus is having a busy day, isn't he? Loads of people are coming to him. People from every corner of every nation are there. Enough times to fill a football stadium would be there. So much so that he couldn't even stop to have his dinner. I hope that you've never had to miss your dinner before. There was one terrible situation. We were heading on holiday, a long journey, but we'd forgot to pack our packed lunch. It was terrible. It was awful. By the end of the days, those little Cheerios which end up on the floor of a car were looking really tasty. We were that hungry. It was really hard. But you'd think then Jesus' family, Jesus' mum, Mary, would be there. Maybe she'd pack up a flask of soup and maybe some cheese sandwiches and go to Jesus and make sure that he had some food. But that's not what happens, is it? Did you see what happened? No, she goes to him and says, "He's out of his mind. What on earth are you doing, Jesus? Jesus, come home." She thought that Jesus was mad, that it was time to call the doctors. Now, I'm going to invite Joanna to come up and play the part of Jesus's mum. And so I'm going to give her a sign which says, "Mad." Because Jesus's mum says, "Jesus, you're mad. What are you doing?" Now, we'll pick up this story a little bit later on, but we're to imagine Jesus' family coming to Jesus with either some strong rope or certainly some strong words to get Jesus to come back down with them. Verse 31, "Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, 'Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you.'" Well, we'll think about this a bit more later on, but did you spot where Jesus' old family end up at the end of the story? Did you spot that they're outside? They choose to stand outside. Now, Jesus isn't being mean when he's not going out to them. Even as he dies on the cross, actually, Jesus will care for his mum and for his family. But he's making the point that being part of his new family is not automatic. Jesus' new family aren't just related by blood. Actually, if you reject the rescuer, you reject the rescue as well. And that goes even if you're Jesus' mum. If you reject the rescuer, if you reject Jesus, then you also reject his rescue, being part of his new family, no matter who you are, which is a challenge for us, isn't it? That we aren't, Jesus' family aren't always related by blood. Sometimes we can think that way, can't we? Because my mum is a Christian, therefore I'm a Christian, or because my sister's a Christian, I'm sort of fine too. Or even because I'm a Christian, then of course my children will be. Being related to someone isn't enough to be part of Jesus' new family. Actually, being part of Jesus' new family is about seeing who our rescuer is. Well, we would expect, wouldn't we, Jesus' old family to be in Jesus' new family. But that wasn't the case, was it? And they're not the only ones. See, some really religious people were there as well. The teachers of the law, maybe you saw them. They were very respectable, very religious, very good people. If anyone you'd expect to be in Jesus' new family, it would be these fine, upstanding pillars of the community. They'd come all the way from Jerusalem to check Jesus out. But what do they think of Jesus? Look down at verse 22. "And the teachers of the law, who came down from Jerusalem, said, 'He's possessed by Beelzebul. By the prince of demons, he's driving out demons.'" They didn't think that Jesus was mad, but they thought that he was bad, that he was being controlled by an evil spirit. That's how he had the power to heal people and to drive out other evil spirits. Now, let me invite Gabby up, who's going to play the part of a very religious, very, very upstanding sort of person. So we've got Jesus' mother, who thought that he was mad, and the religious leaders, who thought that Jesus was bad. Now, Jesus shows up how silly they were being in verse 24. "If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand." That makes sense, doesn't it? If half of a football team were to start scoring own goals, then that team wouldn't win, would it? But there's some good news and some bad news for those religious leaders as well. Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins in every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven." The good news is that we can be forgiven any sin that we've committed, big or small, known or unknown, past or present, Jesus says they can all be forgiven. But if you reject the rescuer, then you reject the rescue. That's what he means when he says blaspheming the Holy Spirit. It sounds terrifying, doesn't it? But we don't need to worry. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit is just another way of saying rejecting Jesus' rescue. If we keep on saying, I don't want to be rescued, I don't want to be forgiven, then Jesus won't forgive. It's a little bit like if I were to offer Jesus' mum and these religious folks an umbrella, and I've got to warn you, it's going to rain later, but would you like an umbrella?
No, I think you're mad. You are talking
Are you
mad.
Really sure you don't want this umbrella? Well, you know, if you reject me and my umbrella, then what's going to happen when it rains? There's only really one way to find out, isn't there? Let's see. Oh, no. Oh, dear. Well, brilliant. Give them a massive round of applause whilst they go and dry themselves off briefly. They're very good sports, aren't they? Thank you very much, guys, for doing that. But rejecting Jesus isn't just like any other decision that we might make. It isn't just like choosing what socks to wear today. Rejecting Jesus has real consequences. If you reject the rescuer, then you reject the rescue as well. And that's maybe another surprise for us today, isn't it? You'd expect these religious folks to be part of Jesus' new family. They were good, moral people. You'd think they'd earned their way in. But Jesus says no. Being religious has nothing to do with it. No matter how many times you've been to church or how many times you've been to Sunday school, no matter how many good deeds you have done or how well you have kept the rules, if you still reject Jesus, then you're not part of his family. Well, we've seen two groups of people so far, haven't we? We've seen two groups of people reject the rescuer and so reject the rescue as well. Jesus' old family are out. Even religious folks are out. But let's look and see who is part of Jesus' new family. From verse 31. Then Jesus' mother and brother arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in the circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus says that his new family are made of those who are inside, those who are sat there listening to him. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mothers. Who's in Jesus' new family? Well, it's those who do God's will. And God's will is that we sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him. As we just sang, I'm following the King. I'm ready to obey, to listen to his word. Later on in Mark, God speaks from on high and says, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." We need to listen to him as he speaks about our sin. We need to listen to him as he speaks about forgiveness. We need to listen to him as he says that he has come to die in our place. Those who are in are those who accept the rescuer and so accept the rescue. If you like, they take up the brolly. But much more than just a rescue. They are part of Jesus' family. That's a wonderful truth if you think about it. I know for many of us, family is hard. We might not all get to pick our family. But Jesus welcomes us into his family with open arms. We get a closeness to him which is better than anything. We get to address Jesus as our brother and God as our loving heavenly Father. Nothing could be more comforting. But as we close, let's ask that question. What do you make of Jesus? Around 100 years ago, C.S. Lewis, the writer of the Narnia stories, went on the radio and challenged people. What do they make of Jesus? Is he mad? Is he bad? Or is he God? More than 100 years earlier than that, Mark got there first, didn't he? Jesus' family called him mad. The religious leaders called him bad. But for those who sit and listen to him, there is a lot more going on. So how do we do that today? If you'd like to hear more, then keep coming along. It's great to see you. Let me encourage you to keep coming along to find out more about Jesus on a Sunday morning. If you'd like to think some more, then you'd be welcome to come along to maybe a Christianity Explored course or another course that we're running sometime soon, or maybe just read the Bible with someone. Do ask if that's you. Or maybe you'd like to dig a little bit deeper, in which case, come along to a home group. Do ask which home group that might be convenient for you, or maybe even one of the youth groups. There's loads of things going on. Do look at the service sheet to find out when they are. Or you might be doing all of those already. And if that's you, then we need to be careful as well, don't we? That we are sitting and listening to Jesus carefully. Listening to Jesus' words. That familiarity doesn't mean that we miss out on what Jesus is saying. And so miss out on being part of Jesus' family.